gospel lesson comes to us from the Gospel of John in the 21st chapter, at the 15th verse. There's a Bible there. I just thought I'd point that out. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he said to him that third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Follow me." The Lord bless the readings from his holy word. To him be the glory. More troops to Iraq, more arms to Syria, more violence in the streets, more protests, from the marches in Texas et al. To full-page ads in Michigan newspapers. The market's up, the market's down. More interest in which sex Jenner has chosen than how many police and military lives have been lost this week. Yes, life moves on, like that rolling stream. And yet, through the cacophony, one hears that faint cry of humankind. Is there a creator who loves this creation? Is there a moral direction in the universe? All of our world religions claim yes. But to be is to love. To love is a pathway, a revelation of that which is real. Gabriel Marcel put it, "Love is the essential ontological datum." John said, "Those who love know God." So love is both a path and a destination. It is from within the experience of love that all spiritual visions of humankind have emerged. Sam Keen noted, "Love is inseparable from faith and hope. Love is the third eye that envisions a unity of being. It is the third ear that detects the hidden harmony within history. It is the sixth sense that encourages us to hope that entropy is not the final law of this cosmos." Hear this. If I speak eloquently and accurately with angelic ecstasy but have not love, I'm nothing but a windbag, the creaking of a rusty gate. If I have all scientific and predictive powers, understand all mysteries and knowledge, if I have faith in technological know-how, can control the environment but have not love, I am bankrupt without love. Ever since progressive secularism, scientism, and technology replaced religion as our governing cultural activity in America, the source of all our values and human meaning, humankind has only a dark vision. It has two pillars. That the universe is governed by entropy, or that trend toward disorder and death, or the assumption that death is the ultimate human destiny. Bertrand Russell put it, "Brief and powerless is man's life, on him and all his race. The slow, sure doom falls pitiless and dark, blind to good and evil, reckless of destruction. Omnipotent matter rolls on its relentless way. Man is condemned today to lose his dearest, tomorrow to pass through the gate of darkness himself." So bellows Herzog, carries that dark vision to its conclusion. What is the philosophy of this generation? Now that God is not just absent but dead, the period has long since passed. Perhaps it simply should be stated that death is God. For this generation thinks nothing is faithful, vulnerable, fragile, can be durable, or have any true power. Well, if Russell and Bellows, those that call themselves the bright ones, that's the current term they've adopted as atheists and agnostics, we stand alone in this dying universe. And our lives become problems in search of solutions. But if we stand within the pivotal experience of love, we enter a world where everything is seen differently. In love, we discover the inexhaustible. We experience life as we. You see, lovers see a world in community. Now, I know that the young people here are not going to understand these next ones because I'm dated. But there was a fellow named Bacharach who was teamed up with a fellow named David, and they wrote this song called "What the World Needs Now Is Love, Sweet Love." Some of the older ones remember. It's the only thing where we have just a little too little love. And then that other, well, perhaps some of the little older ones will remember this one, but Michael Jackson's "We Are the World." Who can forget all those hands all the way around the world? The words, "There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. It's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We are all part of God's great big family. And the truth, you know, love is all we need." My friends, know this. Despite all of the naysayers, God is the creator of this universe, and God created each one of you. That's our affirmation. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." See, God chose you. "Before you were born, I consecrated you, gave you talents, appointed you." God created you with a pattern that he discarded. It's like a snowflake. You're one of a kind. You're special. There's another old film. It's about a Presbyterian minister, so of course I know it. It's called "The River Runs Through It." Norman and his wife, Jessie, had a disagreement. And we see them standing at this doorway kissing. And both saying at the same time, "Let's never get out of touch with each other." And he said, "We never have. And although her death has come between us, death is not final. Love overcomes death. It shall be no more. Never again shall there be sorrow or crying or pain. Love made perfect in us fills us with courage." So as the psalmist sang, "The Lord will answer you in your days of trouble." I know the Lord will help us in life. God will answer from his holy heaven. And Paul reminded the Corinthians, "If anyone is in Christ, you're a new creation. Everything old passed away. And all of this is from God." Jesus gives his final discourse in John 15. And he would ask the disciples, "Do you love me?" One of my favorite musicals is Fiddler on the Roof. Some of you, again, may remember that. It's a repeat kind of thing. He's asking his wife, Goldie, "Do you love me?" And she responds, "Why, what? Do you love me?" "I love you. With our daughters getting married and there's trouble in the town, you're upset. You're worn out. Go inside. Lie back. Maybe it's indigestion." Goldie says, "Goldie," he says to her, "Goldie, I'm asking you a question. Do you love me?" "Do I love you? For 25 years, I washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house. For 60 years, I did 40 years. Yeah. Giving your children milk to cow after 25 years, why do you talk about love right now?" "Do I love you? For 25 years, I've lived with him, fought with him, starved with him. 25 years, my bed is his. If that's not love, what is? Then you love me?" "I suppose I do." And then he answers, "I suppose I love you too. It doesn't change a thing. But even so, after 25 years, it's nice to know." There's what Theodore Herzberg described as a love, hope, faith. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I love you. And so you should love one another." My friends, it is your name that God whispered before you were formed in your mother's womb. In the waters of baptism, about this table, in this word, in the life of this family of faith, Jesus asks us anew each day, Do you love me? First, God in Jesus loved us. How? He laid down his life for us. What does that mean? What grace has God offered you in your life? What mercy have you received? What help has God provided you? What renewal have you experienced? Patrick Johnson suggested John's words should be changed to, love one another as I am loving you. For Jesus' love for us is the fount of love, enabling us to love one another. So three times Peter heard those questions. And each time he responded, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, follow me. From the cross, after the resurrection, his words were the same. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So I love you. Listen. Listen, my child, I love you. And your only job is to share that love. For love is the alpha and omega of our lives. To love as we have been created in love, forgiven in love, and loved even to heaven's gate. There's a prayer we used to sing. Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all thy dear children in thy tender care and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Yes, Lord. We love you. We will follow you. We will feed your lambs. We will tend your sheep here and about this inhabitant. Let it be so.